welcome to another episode of Natural Thoughts and Talks. I'm Venture, and we got a great episode for you guys today. Go ahead and tell the listener your name and where you're coming from.
Sweet. My name's Rob White. I'm coming from Liv's Restaurant in Belmont Shore. And yeah, it's kind of where we've been for the last couple years now.
Yeah. Where does Liv's come from?
So the name Liv's came from just my desire to have a daughter one day and name her Liv. So I was kind of like, maybe we'll name the restaurant before we have her, you know. It's not like there's any plans in the near future to have a baby, but yeah, that was kind of where it all came from.
And it's really nice too, because I guess we can throw a little background. Second Street is obviously the best street in Long Beach, like bar none, you know what I mean? It's where everything's kind of happening. Yeah. And it's got this perfect balance of kind of small towny feel, but also not too aggressive to where you're like, you know what I mean? It's right there in that sweet spot where you're like, yeah. Oh, I'm comfortable here. Yeah. We're so spoiled just being here in Long Beach to where I'll go like sometimes 4 or 5 days without even using my car. Like if I'm not going into the office, I'm just, oh yeah, why though? We're right down on Second Street, right? We have food, everything we need. We're down here by the beach, right? And yep. It's just such a great spot to be. How big has a role in the community? Like how important is the community been in building, you know, your team and your practice?
Yeah, no, I think it's been definitely the biggest part of it for sure. Definitely with our locals that walk to the restaurant and come in weekly. And I feel like now we kind of see that trickle to like further areas where people are driving once a week, come and see us from the east side or the north side, or downtown. And yeah, so it's really fun. And, but yeah, Belmont Shore is just, it's a tight knit community, right? Like it's small, it's very homey, like hometown feel, but yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Are you from Southern California?
Yeah. I grew up in Seal Beach. So just right over the bridge.
Born and raised. What were your parents doing when you were growing up?
Yeah. My dad was in like payphone business for a while, and so he sold that business when we were pretty young, maybe like 10, and just got into kind of real estate and was doing that for the rest of our lives. That's kind of all he's been doing, and so he was always an entrepreneur. And my mom, she was a teacher when we were younger, and now she's like a CPA and, you know, does taxes and just kind of was in the finance world. So, yeah.
That's what's up. Yeah. So, I would say kind of one of the coolest parts that we love to hear about is almost not necessarily like a typical day, but what we love to hear on the podcast is like, obviously the example I use is like, oh, if you have a restaurant, right? You come in and we want to hear how the sauce is made, right? Yeah. Like we want to hear what does a typical day kind of look like operating your guys' restaurant from, you know, I don't know, what is it? A 5 a.m. start, like a breakfast bar, right? 5 a.m. start, you get the eggs, you get this and start counting stuff. Yeah. How are you guys running your team?
Yeah. I mean, every day is kind of different. I think for me, it's like every day, I'm usually up by like 8:30 and checking emails and kind of seeing what, I guess, like fires sort of need to be put out, right? Just on the back end of it. So always kind of going through that, you know, paying bills and just, you know, maybe trying to push some bills and kind of see how things are going, depending on the week and the sales. And depending on, you know, when we get to the restaurant, you know, we'll usually start prep around 10 in the morning. We open up at noon every day and we're closed Tuesdays. And so that just kind of, you know, varies with, we've got a couple prep people and they also work the line and we're checking sauces and, you know, checking prep sheets, you know, checking inventory and just making sure that we're ready to go.
Yeah. Pull the mic just a little bit closer to you. You can take the whole thing. It's cool. You're not going to break it.
Sounds good.
Have you always wanted to be a restaurant owner?
Yes. Yeah. Pretty much my whole life, I'd say. Like, well, ever since I knew what I wanted to do. So I was probably like 17 and was working in a restaurant and was like, I want to open my own restaurant one day.
Yeah. So did you go the traditional route as far as like education? Did you go to college? Did you, you know, do something else?
Yeah. So I like was working in a restaurant, took a year of doing like just kind of figuring out what I wanted to do. So I went to City College for a year, just took like, you know, just basic, you know, prereq classes, and then went to culinary school, and about a year in kind of dropped out, I guess you would say. So it was only like a 2-year program. So just did a year of that. Obviously got a little bit of training, and then I went and met a chef in San Diego, worked with him for a couple of years. And yeah, then got my first restaurant open at 26.
So, that's a young time to do it, right?
Yeah, I was definitely too young, but
why too young though? If you could go back, I'm sure you wouldn't change a thing. Yeah. What's the difference between starting a restaurant that early versus, you know, being a little more seasoned?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there were so many unknowns. Like, I was just throwing money away left and right, I think, and you know, I didn't have a network of people, I think, to call on to help kind of get things, keep the ball rolling with certain things. And that was really the hardest part, I think, that I think about now. It's like, you know, if we're like, okay, who do we call here? It's like, all right, we got somebody, we can call this guy and he'll pick our call up right away and he'll get it done by the end of the week. And I think back then it was like, well, I guess we'll just try to find the cheapest guy and, you know, see what happens. And, yeah, I mean, that was just, it was crazy. It was a whirlwind, so.
I like that, what you said right there, the cheapest guy. We had a really, shout out to Jesse Schutz. He was on the podcast about a month ago, and he's one of the best photographers, definitely in Southern California. Wow. If not, you know, let's say he did like Samsung, Toyota, you know, like he, but here's the thing is he started as a young guy, just throwing money down, was negative, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. And then now he's really taking care of himself. The funniest thing that he told me though, is as somebody who creates or as an entrepreneur in the beginning, he was just seeing dollar signs.
Yeah.
Everything, dollar signs. Oh, that's too expensive. That's too expensive.
Yeah.
The funny part though, is like, at what point did you start to understand the quality of things, right? Like, understand that, hey, you want a premium, you're gonna have to pay for it, right?
Yeah.
For example, I love Southern California, right? I love the good, I love the bad. I'm gonna be here until they kick me out. I tell Hannah all the time, I'm cool to go anywhere in the globe, it just gotta be by a coast, right? Mm-hmm. My family, not from Southern California. They'll come out here, oh my God, it's so expensive. They just wanna look at dollars, right? How much do you pay for rent? How much do you do this? In Texas, you could have this and this and this, X, Y, Z. And I'm like, right. Yeah, but it's fucking Texas. No disrespect to anybody out there, but there's a reason I'm here. And they're over there. So no, it's like, definitely. We're in a premium location, therefore I'm paying a premium dollar.
Yeah.
Where was your head and when did you make the shift to understand that?
Yeah, I mean, that was tough. I think it was probably opening up the second restaurant when we tried opening up our first, the first concept I had was called Chicken Bodega. And that was, we opened up Chicken Bodega 2 in Long Beach, where Lives is at. And that was kind of towards the end of 2020. We signed a lease, you know, found a really great landlord and opened up December of 2020. So during that time, things were closed down, right? I think everyone on the street was doing takeout, had tables set up outside in front of the restaurants. And I was like, well, let's just give it a shot. Like, you know, we're just going to be a fast casual concept anyways. It was fried chicken and fire grilled like chicken legs and salad and fries, like super simple. And yeah, I think when I signed the lease here was when I saw that, like, all right, like this place has got a lot of potential when the street gets back and, you know, we're out of COVID and things get back to, you know, somewhat of a normal state. Like, this could be really good for us, going from our first location to our second location. Cause we were just in this funky spot of Whittier and, you know, it was
funky.
It was,
spot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the place was
broken. We get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Not, I love Whittier. You know, I actually lived there and, but yeah, it's a great city, but you know, had a lot of break-ins, had a lot of problems with, you know, just things like that. And
what
so,
are they trying to take when they break into a restaurant? What is there?
I mean, you know, that time I think we had left the drawer, like the cash drawer with $150 in it. But he didn't even get out of the building before the cops had gotten there. So, you know, they were trying to just steal anything that looked like it had dollar signs. It was very, very random.
It's so dumb.
So yeah, there wasn't much, but yeah, that was definitely when the shift changed. Like, coming to Long Beach, I was like, this is going to be great. Like, you know, we're gonna have to spend a little more, but we're gonna see something special happen here. So
what was that first day like here in Long Beach, opening day?
Yeah, it was great. Like, for that restaurant, it was awesome. You know, the first 2 months were awesome, and that was where, you know, I had dreams of like opening up 25 chicken bodegas, right, in Southern California. I'm like, I had this list of places we were going to open and, you know, this business plan of, you know, kind of showing people to get people on board. And, yeah, I guess like January, so it was like probably the beginning of February or March. And things just started going like downhill where, like, I mean, like an 80% decrease from February to March. And things were reopening slowly. I think outdoor dining was coming into play early 2021. And so I don't know. I had really pushed the panic button probably in like April. And I was like, all right, we're going to have to change the concept.
Before you push that panic button, yeah. That's a hard button to push, yeah, right? Yeah. And coming to terms with that. And some people would quit, right?
Yeah.
Some people would throw in the towel. And oftentimes I think when I'm having my hardest days, I want to hear a little bit about what you got to say, especially for the listener. When I'm having my hardest days, I don't know, account fell through, case goes through, whatever happens, right? Just life happens. I always think about, like, this is usually when people quit, right?
Yep.
This is when they call it a day. But you're not one of those guys, right? You keep pushing through. And that's what I tell myself.
Yeah.
So what is kind of that come to Jesus moment right there before you hit the panic button?
Yeah. I mean, I think there was a lot of conversations, like countless conversations with friends, family, coworkers, you know, people that were working at the restaurant. And yeah, it was weird. I think I really noticed it. Like, I'd gotten in a fight with a family member about it. And I was like, man, we're fighting about, this is crazy. Like, I got to make this like kind of happen. And, you know, he had kind of like put some stuff on the line for me for that first restaurant. And I pretty much was just like, I was like, I'm not going to, like, don't worry. Like, we're going to make good on this. Like, we're going to make this happen, you know? And, you know, same thing with my landlord. He was really reasonable with me and was cutting me a lot of breaks, you know, during that period. And yeah, I think it was like those like really, really hard conversations with people that I cared about where I was like, I couldn't let anyone down. Like, I already knew. I was like, we're good at what we do. Like, not in an arrogant way, but I'm like, this is what we do. Like, you know, like, we're fucking good at it. Like, why are we going to like, why are we just going to give up?
Yeah.
Like, I was looking, you know, looking at the street. I'm like, a lot of businesses make it. I'm like, we're fucking good. Like, we can do this. So I knew we had more in the tank, and it was like, all right, like, let's just pivot. Let's get out of this concept. And, you know, this was kind of the concept that we've come up with, and it's evolved a lot in the 2.5 years we've been open, but it's crazy.
I think the coolest concept though is the ability. Once I, like, whenever I'm building any of my endeavors, the mindset that really I think took me to the next level as far as just like developing as a young man was, if you did it once, you can recreate it, right? Just, let's say, I don't know, for some reason, if this podcast just went down the shitter, I'm gonna start another podcast. Like, and it's not the same thing of like, how do we do this? And this plugs into where? And how do I get people on? It's, oh yeah, no, it's no longer Natural Thoughts and Talks. It's, I don't know, fucking beach walks or whatever, like, it's the same thing, right? Like, you can just keep going. And I think oftentimes, people are so scared to be beginners at things, right?
Yep.
And then when they do fail, sometimes no matter how big the failure is, it does wear off, right? Like, you're always going to be able, it's up to you kind of what you make out of it, right?
Yep, 100%.
Tell me about your guys' team.
Yeah. I mean, we have a crazy team, super small team, super tight team. You know, a lot of people that, so kind of like at the helm of the restaurant, like the general manager, I've worked with her for, well, I guess I worked with her probably 10 years ago, and we just kind of kept in touch, and she had reached out when she was looking to kind of move on and had come over and has just worked her way up and now just like runs the show, like is just a complete badass and saves my ass every day and kind of helps me. You know, just, I don't know, kind of like my therapist to make sure that, like, you know, I'm not taking too much on and she's not taking too much on. We're there for each other. And, so we've got her and, you know, now we've got like a sous chef in the kitchen that will run like the day-to-day. And that's someone that I've worked with and trust, you know, really great. And she's done an awesome job for the restaurant. And, yeah, you know, just like pretty small team, about 12 others on the staff, you know, and It's been fun, you know.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool to kind of see the team grow and just they have a lot of influence, kind of, because we're so small. And I'm always trying to, you know, take advice and see what they want, and it's fun.
So I guess close that gap on how you made that pivot from Chicken Bodega into Livs now.
Yeah.
So go ahead and close that out. How did you guys make that pivot?
Yeah. So we kept Chicken Bodega going till like July. So I guess we were open for about 7 months. And closed down at the end of July and reopened Livs like September 4th. So about a month later, it was a pretty funny opening for sure. You know, the restaurant was pretty bare. There wasn't stuff on the walls. Definitely didn't have enough tables. The lighting was bad, but you know, we were just learning and just trying to start something new. We were working on our beer and wine license. So we were kind of, you know, itching towards that, which was nice. And then, yeah, just obviously it's evolved a lot, like food-wise, menu-wise. I think it was always for me, like starting off as an oyster bar was number one. So just trying to, you know, serve and shuck the best oysters.
Why oysters?
It was just, I think it was something for me that I had really enjoyed eating and something that I hadn't found like in the city for, you know, in like a small intimate space, uh-huh. like a setting. And, you know, a lot of my favorite restaurants, I think when I travel or like, you know, oyster bars or, you know, like some spots that like don't even have, you know, hot kitchens, right? Like mm-hmm. they're just doing crudos and shellfish and stuff on ice. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. So I think that was, for me, what Liv's was going to be, because I had kind of dreamt about Liv's even when I had Chicken Bodega. And I was like, let's just go ahead and do it now and see what happens.
You talked earlier about not taking too much on. Yeah. What's your process for staying organized? Are you good at that? Are you bad at that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm somewhat good at it. You know, I think it's funny. Like, I feel like I definitely keep too much like in my head versus like, you know, keeping things down. I finally have gotten better with like getting good with my calendar, right? Yeah. And you know, making
I keep nothing in my head. Yeah. If it's not on the calendar, it just doesn't happen.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, for certain bills and stuff, it's like throughout the month, I just kind of know. Like, so those. I've always felt like, oh, if I put in the calendar, just my calendar looks so like, it's just so full. Meetings and stuff like that are very important for me on the calendar. But I think when it comes to like certain, like just random stuff with the restaurant, like knowing when I need to reach out to somebody on a certain day, that stuff I just kind of remember. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to like pride myself on staying some, you know, pretty well organized and, I think when it comes to like the restaurant part of it, like operationally, like that's where we try to really focus on, you know, when it comes to service and food and just procedures for the whole restaurant around, the organization is kind of the backbone, you know?
Yeah, I feel so, that.
Yeah.
You know, something that I've really been big on, I think over the past 2 months or so is support. Yeah. Like I don't do anything. I don't really know anybody successful that does it on their own, but right. yet the whole concept of like you're somewhat more talented or better because you received help.
No.
Tell us, where are the people or I guess groups that you find the most support in, whatever could be business related, life related, yeah. where do you love to feel support?
Yeah. Or
how do you feel supported? I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. It's hard. I think it definitely comes from, I think when it like business wise, you know, like with just like the staff around me and, you know, cause like when I'm working, it's like, you know, I always try to be supportive of everyone when I'm there. So like, you know, if the dishwasher needs help or needs a break, like, I mean, I kind of love working every position in the restaurant. So, and I think everyone at the restaurant knows that, but you know, so then like in return, I would like to think that they're like, you know, they support me with certain things when it comes to just like, just little things, right? If the restaurant needs more help or an extra hand, like, are they willing to come in or, you know, move their plans so that they can come to work? And, I think everyone that we kind of have on staff, you know, I feel that support with, you know.
I got kind of a broad thing I want your take on. As a restaurant owner, what is sort of the general culture that divides a successful restaurant from a non-successful one? Because here's the thing that I noticed just as the layperson.
Yeah.
Restaurants are opening everywhere. We right. see it all. Oh, come check out Sammy's, you know, sandwiches over here on whatever, blah, blah, blah. Big balloons, yeah. you know, there's a thing. And then, yeah. I don't know, 9 months later, I'm like, huh, oh, it's for rent again, you know, like, I guess, but there was no balloon part. You know, like, you don't have to.
Yes.
That would be an interesting strategy as if, like, I came to the grand opening, right? We right. had it. There was music. It was awesome. However, what if you had to kind of publicly, like,
yeah.
announce, like, hey, sorry, guys, you know what I mean? Because it's kind of funny how, because clearly, if a restaurant's opening up, something happened. Like,
yeah.
there's a reason that space is open, right?
No, totally.
So what is that, like, what have you noticed with all your experience?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it's hard to say, like, I mean, I feel like it comes down to, like you just said, like organization or team or, you know, just like operations wise, right? Like operators, like who's kind of running the restaurant, you know, like on the back end, and then who do they have day to day, you know, making sure that they're well trusted and doing it. Yeah, I mean, we're like in works actually of taking over a restaurant in Long Beach, and, you know, we could get on it later, but I just came from there, and it's a really exciting project. that, you know, I'd love to talk about.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, so that's, you know, I think when I'm looking at that project, it's like that restaurant just shut down, and it's hard to say, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people, I think it's a tiring business, like you can get burnt out pretty quickly, but it's weird. It's like the only thing I've really found that makes me happy, like just, you know, going out, trying new restaurants, right? Like going, tasting food, you know, meeting chefs, talking to food friends, talking to restaurant friends, just being in my restaurant, even on a day that we're closed, like makes me happy. So, you know, it's odd. Yeah. I don't really understand it, but, it was just kind of the only thing that drove me. I feel like to like my full potential or whatever, you know, like towards my full potential, you know?
Yeah. And so, as you're building and, you know, continuing to expand, which is congratulations. That's awesome to hear. Thanks. Oftentimes, like one of my biggest things, I work in finance, right? I don't know if we touched on that, but mm-hmm. it's all industries are changing, but my industry is changing so much as far as like the guys that were a generation above me who worked, you know, 90 hours, 100 hours, like a week and just never saw their families.
Yeah.
Now they're at the point where like their kids are like my age, right? And they can reap sort of like, huh, Johnny's not coming home for Christmas. You know what I mean? Like yeah. just kind of seeing how life plays out where uh-huh. it's like, yeah, you can go get the biggest house over here on Naples or do whatever. But at the end of the day, what are you working for? Right. So my industry has done, I've just seen it and I'm able to be a part of it of like, yeah, we're going to get after it and bust ass. But at the end of the day, you know, it's still coming home to Hannah and the dog and, you know, planning on starting that a family when the time is right. Like yeah. what is it that you work for?
Right. That's crazy. I never really thought about that. I mean, sometimes I do. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like I kind of work for, like, happiness, right? Like, or maybe just, yeah, it's weird. Like, I feel like it's really, like, happiness. And I think, like, making people around me, like, proud. Like, that's always kind of driven me as well. Like, I think just, like, with my family and, you know, with my friends, like, you know, it's cool. Like, I have, like, the most supportive group of friends, like, from high school. You know, there's 10 of us that have been together since, like, you know, we're 13.
That's awesome.
And they're the most supportive guys in the world. But I think, you know, the one difference between, like, just me and them is, like, you know, they all went, like, UCLA, USC, UCSB. Like, you know, these great universities, like, have really good jobs and have kind of had stability for a long time. And it was never, like, we were, you know, anyone was looking to outdo the other person, but I think you just never wanted to feel like, you know, sort of like a failure, right? Around your friends, which is always hard. And I think there were times where I was experiencing that. So I was like, you know, just, I think that's what drove me was like, you know, being happy, like feeling like I'm doing something that's making me happy and, you know, making people around me proud.
Right? Yeah.
So I don't know.
You know, what's kind of cool. What you're saying is, I'm the only family member of my family, the young man that's not either like dead or in jail, right? So we're talking about like, you know, just kind of first unprecedented, yeah. you know, go to college, do your thing, right? And my yeah. parents did a great job of that. However, I'm still an addict. Like there's certain things genetically that yeah. you can see where I go like, yeah, I understand. Like I'm one of the few guys that I understand like, oh, hey, I'm my cousin. Yeah, I know what you're feeling, but you can't do that. So right. I have to work. I have to do things. If I'm not in the, I have to podcast because yeah. it's like, I just get anxious. And for like, sure. once that happens, like the pressure in my head totally. Just starts to, you know, your brain feels heavy.
Oh, yeah.
And then once you kind of loosen up, it's like, oh, mm-hmm. you know, things kind of loosen. Yeah. It deflates. The balloon deflates. And I'm like, this is where I'm supposed to be. So it's like, I work just to honestly, obviously provide value to the community and try to do that. But just cause like, it's fun. Some people have to do it. And it's so awesome that you love, it sounds like you really love what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's like, how important is it to really find something? Cause oftentimes people want to make that move from employee to employer.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a big shift. And it's like, at what point did you know that it was the right time? Cause I mean, you're 26, you're talking about so young, but you can look back on it and go like, what's the sweet spot? Because luckily I have great mentors. I don't have my own office yet. I work in a great office, but yeah. one day I will open up my own and, you know, make things happen. But at what point do you make that shift from employee to employer?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was kind of tough. I think that was just like off of feeling. I was running like a pop-up barbecue business. I don't know, you could call it like a catering company kind of, but we were doing farmers markets and breweries and, you know, smoking meats overnight and then, you know, taking a trailer and going to a brewery or going to a farmer's market. And I was doing like 3 or 4 days a week. And that was like my main source of income for probably about 6 months. between like 25 and early 26 is. And so then I think I had just really been feeling like, man, I got to find like a small restaurant space. So I was looking around everywhere, like, you know, spaces in Long Beach, you know, there's a couple spaces I looked at, and spaces in Anaheim and Santa Ana, and, you know, one spot in Fullerton, and nothing was really panning out, but I had some people that believed in me, right? Like friends around me, family that, it, you know, if we needed to gather some money or raise some capital, it was, we were going to make it happen. And ended up not doing that. And I went on like a week long trip to New York, and these were kind of things that I loved to do. And I think in my 20s was just go to New York or go to Nashville or, you know, take a trip to Chicago and go like, go experience some food and like get into it and really see what was like calling to me and, you know, was inspiring. And yeah, I think that that was a really inspirational trip. And I ended up meeting a guy on the way back that this, it was just kind of fell in my hands. I was sitting next to him on the airplane, started talking to him. He's a chef, and we got in touch, and 3 days later he showed me this space in Whittier, and a week later I was opening this restaurant. So
yeah.
So yeah, I think it was just fate in that, you know, in that scenario. I don't think I really knew. Mm-hmm. Because I think that yeah, if I could go back, I probably would have waited a little bit longer. But, you know, obviously super grateful to just be here today and kind of be doing what I love still 5 years later.
Is the restaurant industry where you developed your work ethic? Or did you, is there another time of your life where you really kind of, because for me it was sports.
Yeah.
That's what I did, and, you know.
That's interesting, yeah. I mean, it was, you know, even in high school, like, I had played football and golf in high school, and it was like in football, right, I'm like a big guy, and all of my coaches were always like, oh, you've got so much potential, like, if you would just show up to practice, and I was like skipping practice to go to work.
Yeah.
To go work at a restaurant, and not really because I needed to, like, you know, I mean, I didn't need money, like, all of my needs were taken care of, but I really liked it. Like, I really enjoyed it. So it was like junior and the end of junior year, all of my senior year. Uh-huh. I mean, I just got so much shit from everybody. You know, my friends will still tell me like, oh yeah, you know, I remember when you used to skip like, you know, whatever walkthrough to go to work. And I'm like, and then I, you know, wouldn't be able to play the first half of the game. And it just, yeah, it was weird. 'Cause I don't think it was in sports. I mean, if you, you know, if I go back and think about it, I'm like, fuck, I had a bad work ethic. Uh-huh. And, you know, it bums me out, but I think I just loved, I loved the hustle of the restaurant, and I loved what was going on. And I was like, oh, I just got to keep learning. Like, I had something was really calling to me. And I just would work as much as I could.
Yeah. Hours, restaurant hours. You obviously have to be there when everybody else is off work. It's, yeah, you know, one of those opposite things. How do you deal with that? You like that? Because I prefer, I'm an early guy, yeah, right? Yeah. I want to be in and out. And then, yeah, I'm not, hey, if the sun's down, I can't be, I'll be in here working. But like,
yeah,
just, you know, I can't be doing a dinner rush. Like, I'm telling you right now, if you were like, hey, Venture, be there at 5 a.m, I'm like, oh, this guy is amazing. Like, he's over here doing 3 guys' jobs. But right there around 6, 7, yeah, 8, you're like, oh no, he thinks it's just like social hour, like, you know what I mean, this guy's not working at all. But
that's funny.
Yeah, how do you deal with that? Just like, yeah, it's kind of part of the business. I, yeah, mean, it is, it, right?
Yeah, no, it, I mean, I think it is. Like, we know, like, I, you know, I've been very grateful, at least recently, just working on the new restaurant, and I think having a little bit of work-life balance, just not having to work like every Friday, every Saturday night, right? Like, my general manager, like, really takes care of me in that sense. And so, and obviously she is just, she's like, I want you to be happy. Like, I, you know, I need you to also be happy and have a life and not feel like, you know, so just, you know, bogged down by this all the time. So I think that that's really good and something that, you know, is important to get a place to get to at some point. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I enjoy working nights. Like, I think it's really fun, you know, and like, since we're really a dinner restaurant, it just kind of is what it is.
Are you a late night guy?
Yeah, I mean, I fall asleep pretty quickly. So, like, I think once I get in bed, it doesn't really matter. But I don't stay up till, like, past midnight usually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but like I said, up between 7 and 8. So, like, for a lot of people, that's sleeping in.
Yeah.
You know? And just depends on the day, of course. But we don't, there's not too many early morning calls, right? Like with our restaurant specifically. With our new restaurant, there will be. We're going to open at 7 a.m. So that will just be a different schedule and something that I'll have to adapt to for you know?
Yeah, I have this weird thing with, like, my internal clock that no matter what time the... I don't need an alarm clock. Like, it's just... it's one of those things where we set it. I've never missed, like, a day of, like, school or work or whatever. Literally since I was 12 years old. That's like, if you set it for 7, 6 o'clock rolls around. Like, wow. I don't know. There's just something that happens. So, 4:15 was when we were waking up yesterday to come home from Vegas.
Wow.
I'm up at 3. And it's one of those things where it's like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, come on now. And it's at the point now where I'm just like, I wake Hannah up and I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, babe. Like, I know, what are you doing? Just dead zombie. And I'm like, might as well get on the road. I'm not going back down. So we get here and then, you know, I crash by the time we get here and I'm just done. But it's just a weird thing of like, I'd never understood just people being like, snooze button.
Yeah.
Sleep till 10. I'm like, wake your ass up. What are you doing? But I don't know. That's just how some people are wired, right? People. How important are people to a restaurant, in your opinion?
Yeah. Like customers? Or
yes. Right. As opposed to the difference between being in Southern California and just like a podcast. I couldn't imagine doing this. It's in like, I don't know, Wenatchee, Washington or Pine Bluff, Arkansas or something. Cause it's the hot spot, right? To where I can ask pretty much there's 20 million people within like 30 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say an hour, let's just say with traffic, I can get you from Pasadena to come out here and tell me about your restaurant. But the idea to be like, hey, you want to come, you know, and I don't know, highway route 4 in Montana to come out. It's a little different, but restaurant may be similar, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think that, like, going back to what we said just about the community, but I mean, it's cool because I feel like we've got a group, like you have a group of people in LA and especially Long Beach now that are very like curious about trying food, right? Or trying something different, like not going to Cheesecake Factory all the time or, you know, just the basic chains. And, you know, people spend so much time like looking at food online, right? I mean, it's like everyone I talk to, regardless of what industry they're in, it's like, oh yeah, I was looking how to make this and oh, these are all these ads are popping up on my phone. And so I feel like you just have a super captive audience, right? Like you're saying, you have so many people, right? Like you have plenty of people, right?
Yeah.
To ask and, you know, to bring on the podcast.
Like I'm never going to scratch the surface of whatever 100%. The possibilities.
Yeah, which is amazing. And I feel like that's kind of how we feel where it's like, there's always new people to grab. I feel like when I'm at the restaurant, I try to ask every table when I'm there, especially if I'm running food or just kind of walking around on the floor, like, have you guys been here before? And we're all really good about it, doing that at the restaurant and just trying to get an idea of how many new people we're getting a day, and breaking that down on the week and the monthly. And I think, you know, we've gotten some good analytics and numbers from that, which really, really is helpful. And I mean, you're probably talking about at least 30, you know, I'd say 30 to 50% a week are new
cool
customers. And so I think that that's huge. So it gives me hope that, you know, we can keep growing and lasting on this street and, you know, making a name for ourselves.
Yeah, so, dude, that's super exciting.
Yeah,
and
fun.
Honestly, one of the biggest things that I've been touching on lately is just like people really remember how you made them feel.
Yeah.
Right. And it's one of the things where it's like we could sit here and talk about whatever restaurant related stuff, but the idea of what I'm trying to do with the show a lot of the times, especially in our local area, is like show that they're people. They're humans behind this, right? They're busy. Everybody's fucking busy, but like actually hearing them, right? I'm much more susceptible to hear about the, you know, salad restaurant over here or whatever. I heard the story about that guy. I'm gonna go in there and say what's up, right? Versus just kind of like the cookie cutter kind of way that we see things. So
totally,
it's awesome to just come in and kind of share about what's going on. We have, as we kind of close things out, two more questions that we love to get everybody's take on that comes in.
Love it.
And the first one, you don't have to have an answer to, but I like to open it up. Is there anything that maybe you were thinking about like on your way over here, or maybe this morning, that I wasn't able to touch on that you maybe wanted to pop into?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I was curious, you know, because I'd listened to a couple other podcasts, right, and of yours as well. And I mean, I kind of love the layout and just sort of just go for it and see, you know, see what comes up and what kind of comes to mind talking about, you know, the industry or just kind of what we're doing in our lives. But no, I don't think so. I think that, again, like I was coming from the new restaurant, which was exciting. And so I think that, you know, keep kind of implementing ourselves in Long Beach and doing some fun stuff will be a really good time. And being so close to our other restaurant, I feel like we'll have, you know, a good group of people to kind of grab from.
Yeah. Is there like a ballpark on when you guys are going to expand that out?
Yeah. So it'll be at probably like 30 to 60 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
soon.
Yeah, really soon. So it was a restaurant that had just kind of shut their doors. So super plug and play. We're just going to change some signage, and it's in a building, kind of like Cherry and Ocean. So it's a restaurant space like right on the water, and a lot of residents that live in that building. So I think it could be something special. Do like a cafe and a market, and then do a dinner concept on the weekends to start.
That's cool.
So I guess we'll, you know, run 7 days a week there, and then do 3 days a week with the dinner concept.
That's going to be really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're going to pop into that one.
And definitely.
Like I said, the vibe that you guys have, it's definitely like, you know, very date night, very, you know, like it's good. Hannah loves it. You know what I mean? Thanks. She loves the whole energy of everything. And, you know, I'm, you know, as simple as they come. Like, if it makes her happy, you know, I'm happy. I'm the type of guy that's like, yeah, just throw a deli sandwich at me. I'm all right, man. Just be nice and it's totally cool. But like, it's just really awesome to hear about your story in the community and the hard work that you're putting in.
Yeah.
The last thing that we like to ask everybody is, as you've kind of seen what we got going on with Natural Thoughts and Talks, and we're trying to expand and get more people on, are there maybe like 2 to 3 people that maybe could be fellow restaurant owners? They could be, you know, other entrepreneurs. They don't have to be, just somebody with a good spirit and soul that maybe you could shout out, that maybe we could reach out to and see if we could get them in the same chair as you.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to think about that question. I mean, I feel like on the street, like, I don't know if you've been to the restaurant, Let's Yoke About It, but like Bex and Bree, you know, I think they're a couple people that are just really like grinding every day and, you know, trying to make it work down there and, you know, implement themselves in their community. And it's fun to kind of see it. And so, they're always making changes and always trying to get better. And so I think Bex would have a lot of fun stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
She just knows this area so well and the community really well. And so I'm not sure if you know her, but
yeah. We've had her on the show maybe, I think last year.
Really?
At some point. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
a
really good
episode.
That makes
sense. Yeah. So that's fun, but, she's a good talker. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, there's so many people. It's like, 'cause you did Steve from Transparency, huh? Is that the shrimp farmer or no?
No. Oh, I don't know. Tell me about Steve.
Really? Yeah. So I thought that's so weird. I thought that's how we got connected. So he's doing that like, I don't know, farm raised shrimp right out of Downey. And so he is, you know, he lives in Long Beach as well.
Okay.
And so, you know, he's someone that has kind of been doing something really special, you know, not directly in the community, right? But in LA and in Long Beach, and his farm is in Downey. And so, yeah, it's really, really crazy.
That'd be cool to hear about.
Crazy operation. He'd have a lot to talk about. So Transparency Farm would be, you know, one that I would definitely think of. And yeah, I mean, those are definitely a couple that come to mind right away.
Hey, anytime anybody pops in, you can throw them my way.
Yeah.
And like I said, we're trying to have just the most diverse cast of people on from all industries. Like, it doesn't matter. Aviation, restaurants, shoes, whatever. Just because, like... Yeah. I needed that seat. Like, podcasting was literally my thing that, like, when I hated school, I hated, you know, work or whatever it was, like, I'd always have an earbud in and just be like, oh, okay. I've just always been curious. Like, oh, okay, this guy, that's how you work. I didn't work out like that, but I'll start working out like this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, things like that. And
yeah,
it's just awesome to kind of hear about things like that. But hey, guys, this has been another episode of Natural Thoughts and Talks. We appreciate you guys for listening. We'll catch you on the next one. Bye.